Dear congregation, Jesus said in prayer unto his Father, While I was yet with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He knew his true disciples, those that truly loved him, those he kept them. But Judas was lost. Divine justice found him. The Lord will keep his people. However, he will deal with those that remain in unbelief. And David set forth this plain truth here in this psalm, verse 20. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. The other day I met a Scottish lady in Ringwood on the Doras. And she said, well, all go to heaven. In love, I pointed out to her, it's only those that believe in Jesus. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not all go to heaven. Many will go to that place Jesus called hell. And the Lord in justice will deal. But David sets forth this truth. In verse 20, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Well, as we turn to these words tonight, I'd like us to consider, first of all, the lover of God. For those that love God are preserved by him, verse 20. So firstly, the lover of God. Secondly, the preserving hand of God. The Lord preserveth all that love him. And then thirdly, the justice of God, as we close tonight, the justice of God. So the lover of God, the preserving hand of God, and the justice of God. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. And here we're presented with those that love God. So many people in this world do not love God. And in this locality, the majority of people do not love the Lord. Many in this country have a form of religion, like the Pharisees and the scribes, but they do not truly love Christ. John 15, verse 25, our Lord said, But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. They did then, and so many do tonight. So many hate Christ. They may not openly say it, and you may meet certain ones in the week, and they won't tell you it to your face. But if they don't love Christ with all their heart, they're hating him. They will not submit to him. We will not have this man to reign over us. Just consider, he's in his glory in that exalted place tonight. In that exalted state as well. And he's over all. He's head and king of the church. But also is God. He is sovereign over all. He's there. Yet so many will not submit to him. So many hate him. Even in this locality. Many stand against him in low places. But also in high places. Psalm 2 verse 2. We've just sung these words. The kings of the earth set themselves. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. How they stand against Christ. They did then. And we can also think later of when they, Herod and others stood against our Lord. What they do today. There's so many in this country. There's so many in this world that hate Christ, and that's why it's difficult. Why is it so difficult in this country at this present time? Because the majority of people do not love Jesus Christ. And further in Parliament, many do not love him. No wonder we're in difficulties. So many hate Christ in this nation. However, God has a people who love him. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. And as we think of these words tonight, are we not thankful, dear child of God, that you are one who loves the Lord. The Lord preserveth all that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. How can we be thankful enough? As we shall close tonight, we'll consider the justice of the Lord, and that there will be those who will be dealt with forever. How can we thank him enough? And all to love him the more. We're thinking tonight of the lover of God. And it's you, dear child of God. You're a lover of God. And why are you a lover of God? Well, because first God loved you. And I'd like us to consider one or two things here as we think of this love here. Firstly, love began on God's side. 1 John 4 verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If he never loved us, we'd be hating Christ tonight. We wouldn't want to sing his praise. We wouldn't want to be so encamped at Calvary and thinking of him. No. Left to ourselves, we would be hating Christ. But God loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And do not those words there help us to give the glory to God? It's not us, is it? It's not our love to him. It's God's love to us. We love him because he first loved us. We were not born loving God. There was no grace of love towards him in our hearts. Our hearts were spiritually dead. God loved us first. All praise be to God. Why such love? Why such love? Just think of his love. Firstly, it was everlasting. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, the Lord have appeared of old unto thee, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He always had a love for us. An everlasting love. We'll come back to that in a moment. But he loved us from eternity before this world was made. He's always loved us. Yes, even when we were the children of wrath. Ephesians 2 verse 1 through to verse 4. That's amazing, isn't it? We were the children of wrath. Yet he so loved us. His love was everlasting and it still is. He's always loved us. When we think of our love to him, it's so short compared to his eternal love. Secondly, love was the cause of his love. Love was the cause of his love. Some precious words are found in Deuteronomy. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. Why did he set his love upon them? Because of his love. And why has the Lord loved you? Well, it's because of his love. Anything lovely in me, did he foresee? No. He loved because of his love. Thirdly, love sent his son to die for our sins. 1 John 4 verse 10, here in this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. They're amazing words, aren't they? In love, he sent his son to be that propitiation for our sins. What amazing love. What a display of love. Love to poor sinners. One of old wrote, to God be the glory, great things he have done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life our redemption to win, and opened the life gate that all may go in. All who believe in him. Love to poor sinners. Those that had offended him. In love he sent his son, so that his wrath would be turned away. It's amazing, isn't it? In love, he sent his son for you, that his wrath would be turned away. He was angry, but in love he sent his son. Divine justice was known at Calvary, but also divine love was manifested. Fourthly, love was in the heart of Jesus as he suffered and died for us. John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What love! He loved us to the end, as we're told in John 13, verse 1. He loved them unto the end. He didn't stop loving us as the crown of thorns was thrust down on his head. He didn't stop loving us as the nails were driven into his hands. He didn't stop loving us when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He loved us to the end. And that's why you're loving him tonight. He showed his love for us by dying for us. Oh, let us be encamped at Calvary more and more. Let us view again his amazing love. We thought this morning that we pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would work within to cause us to grasp what he did for us. And what's one of the reasons for that? Is because we want to daily be lost in wonder at his love. Fifthly, we're thinking that love began on God's side. We begin there because when we think of our love, it's because of him. But fifthly, love was manifested in the time of love. Ezekiel 16 verse 8. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. He saw us. He saw there was no righteousness that would avail. He saw our sin. And he covered us. Oh, what love. Thy time was the time of love. What a lovely description of what the Lord does in effectual calling. Thy time was the time of love. For some of you here tonight, you may not be able to remember the precise moment, but the Lord knows that time. Because he looked on and it was thy time. Thy time was the time of love. Is there anyone here tonight? You're not loving the Lord. Oh, that yet there will be a time of love for you. What love was displayed in that time of love? Amazing love. Jesus, he drew near and he saw all our sins, yet he went back away. What love? He powerfully spoke to us. He drew us. And through the Holy Spirit, he entered in and gave us life. What love. He loved us first. The Lord preserveth all that love him. Well, it begins on God's side that we're found loving him. He loved us first. A couple may question, which one of them first fell in love? And you couples here tonight, you talk that over. Was it the husband or was it the wife? I think for me and my wife, at the same time, when we consider our love and God's love, he loved us first. We know clearly that God loved us first. And we're a lover of God because he was a lover of us. All praise be to his name. Well, let's move on now and consider secondly here, love put within the heart. Love began on God's side, and we've considered certain things there. His everlasting love, his love that he sent his son, that love known in the time of love. Well, let's now consider that love was put within the heart. We considered this afternoon the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Galatians 5 verse 22. And that grace, that principle of love, was put with him. We're not thinking of a natural love here. We're thinking of that special grace, that principle, as some of the theologians call it, that habit, was put with him. Many exercise a natural love. There's certain ones in this village, and they're very loving, aren't they? They're very kind. But they don't know this special grace ripening in the soul. When the Lord draws near in that time of love, the Holy Spirit puts love within. And there is the evidence of love in the believer's life. 1 John 3 verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You see, it's all plain there. The true believer has love within. The grace of love is there. We love the Lord. Now we consider tonight, we love him because he first loved us. How wonderful to say we love the Lord. We're a lover of God. Through his grace and through his work and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we fell in love with Jesus. Love was put within. What love to put this grace within. You just think of it. Prior to that time, we hated Christ. What a terrible thing it was to hate Christ. Yet an amazing love, he put love within. So that no longer we hated Christ. We loved him. We loved the Lord. Love was put within. We're a lover of God. Consider how love can be an aid to assurance. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Thirdly, love exercised within. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Now we think of those. The people of God, they have love within and they're loving him. There's the exercise. Psalm 116 verse 1. I love the Lord because he have heard my voice and my supplications. I love the Lord. We fell him. Like Peter, we fell the Lord. Yet we can respond as Peter did. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Yea, Lord. You think of Peter. He denied the Lord 3 times. And he was humbled because of that. And he felt it. He went and wept bitterly when he caught the eye of Christ. The Lord comes to him and questions Peter again and again 3 times. Yea, Lord. He humbly said it, knowing his shortcomings, yet he could say it. And when we humbly say to the Lord, knowing our shortcomings, we love thee, oh, the Lord is so pleased. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now the Lord knows them that are his. That's plain in Timothy, isn't it? The Lord knows how he loves to hear his children speaking. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You see this familiarity with the Lord Peter had in a godly way. This closeness. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know, it's so plain and obvious, isn't it? If you love someone, you speak to them of your love. The wife who loves their husband makes it known. The husband to the wife and the family, the children, so on and so forth. I love you. You husbands here, how many times have you told your wives today that you love them? How often have we told our beloved Redeemer today? I begin with myself, I need to say it more often to Jesus. Every day, I love thee. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. It's weak at times, Lord. It's not that hot at times, but I do love thee. And you know, when we find ourselves saying to the Lord in humility, I love thee, what happens? The temperature goes up. There may have been that coldness, and we haven't been talking to Christ too much. But when we begin to say, Lord, I love thee, the temperature goes up, and the love ripens a little. Do not we find ourselves saying to the Lord, I love thee? We don't say it enough. 1,000 times more, I should say it to him every day. As a pastor, can I say this to you tonight? Make it your purpose that you tell the Lord every day this week that you love him. If some trial comes to him, tell him that you love him. Spurgeon had an enemy. Spurgeon was in difficulties. I believe it was his gout. And his legs were bandaged up and his enemy came. How could you love a God like that? And Spurgeon responds, I would love him 10,000 times more, even if he afflicted me more. If trials come, tell the Lord that you love him. And make it your hearty promise to love him. Psalm 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord preserveth all that love him. I will love thee. One has written, with strong, hearty affection will I cling to thee, as a child to its parent, or a spouse to her husband. The word is intensely forcible. The love is of the deepest kind. I will love thee heartily, with my innermost bowels. I will love thee. You know, sometimes we rightly come to prayer and we think of certain things we need to pray about. Perhaps sometimes this week, just get down on your knees and wrestle with the Lord just about love. Make known that you will love him. That will do your soul good as it will do my soul good. I will love thee. And what a privilege. Despite our shortcomings in love, despite at times the temperature drops in our heart, we are known to the Lord as one who loves him. The Lord preserveth all that love him. Well, let's move on and consider secondly and more briefly the preserving hand of God. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Now, as we think here of what he will do for those who die in their sins and what he is doing for us, is your love ripening tonight? Oh, it ought to. Oh, to love him more at the end of this sermon in a few minutes than when we did at the beginning, when we consider these things. That he preserves us, in contrast to what he will do to those who will die in their sins. The preserving hand of God. He preserves his people. Now, the justified will never fall from grace totally. They may stumble, drift and backslide, but never fall away. They're kept in the hands of the Lord. John 10, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. No man. We fail the Lord, we backslide, we wander. But we will never fall from grace. We'll never be found outside of the hands of Christ. No man can pluck us from his hands. His hands are so strong, he has a firm grip. My grandfather Lewis had great big hands. And when he took hold of your hand, you knew you were safe. If you were walking along and Grandfather Lewis, not my dad, but my grandfather, took hold of your hand, you knew you were safe. The Lord has strong hands. He will never let you go. We are preserved. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Even when their love's not as it ought to be. Even when they're straying. He won't loosen his grip. Now one may say, how is the perseverance of the saints secured? How is this secured? Well, let's consider a number of things at this point. Firstly, the unchanging, electing love of God. He will always keep you. You will always persevere. Because of the unchanging, electing love of God. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, the Lord have appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Everlasting love. Now earlier we considered his love in eternity before this world was made. He loved us first. But just think a little further of his everlasting love. He will always love us then. His love is everlasting. He inhabits eternity, and he who inhabits eternity has such love. And therefore the unchanging, electing love of God secures us being preserved in his hand. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. And we think first of all because of his electing, unchanging love. That's why you're kept. You will never be lost because his love will never change. Secondly, the covenant of grace. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Why? Because of his covenant of grace. Christ stood as our head. He met the condition. So covenant blessings continue to fall upon us. Remember what David said? 2 Samuel 23 verse 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire. Now note those words. This is all my salvation. And David is thinking not only of that time when he was delivered from the bondage of sin, but the glorious hope of the resurrection to come. Redemption as a whole. And he says, this is all my salvation. And he thinks of the covenant. And when we consider the Lord preserving us, it's secured because of the covenant. Thirdly, the power of God. Why does he preserve us? Because of his power. 1 Peter 1 verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Kept by his power. The Almighty One keeps you. He who has infinite power keeps you. Now, just consider this. All of us here who love the Lord tonight, he's keeping us all at this moment. And he's keeping every child in this whole world at this moment. I don't know when you last tried to carry your wife, you husbands here. Your wife, rather. Or the other way round. Hard to carry someone who's the same height as yourself. God's carrying us all tonight. All the lovers of God are being carried in this world and in heaven at this moment. The Lord preserveth all them that love him because of his power. He's keeping his people. These are challenging days. How we long to see revival in this chapel. Yes, we think of revival in the church, the visible church. We long to see it here. But let's be thankful for the power of God. Preserving us. Fourthly, the merit of Christ. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Why does he preserve? Because of the merit of Christ. Christ's infinite merit. 1 Peter 1 verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He accomplished redemption. He satisfied divine justice. It was acceptable. He met the condition of life, so that those who believe will know life forever. They will be kept because of Christ's merit. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. And as you sing those words and as you come to those words, consider Christ. And because of him and what he did on Calvary, you're preserved. Thomas Watson writes, would Christ think, ye have shed his blood that we might believe in him for a while and then fall away? Do we think Christ will lose his purchase? No. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Why? Because of the precious blood of Jesus. And so in this verse we're led to Calvary. We're kept because of him who went all the way to the cross. Fifthly, the prevailing intercession of Christ. the prevailing intercession of Christ. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Why? Because the intercession of Christ prevails. Luke 22, verse 32. And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you as wheat, to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. A more clear evidence of the prevailing intercession of Christ. Satan came, he wanted to sift the grace out of Peter, but the Lord was praying. And Peter was kept. He makes intercession and it prevails. You're being kept tonight. You've been kept throughout this day. You'll be kept tomorrow because of Christ who every moment thinks of you and makes intercession for you. He intercedes on the grounds of his merit. John 17 verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He makes intercession. Keep them. Continue in almighty power to support them. Remember thy everlasting love and preserve them. The prevailing intercession of Christ. What a comfort it is. He's always interceding for us. You'll always be kept. Seventhly, the indissoluble union with Christ. The union which is real can never be dissolved. He will love you and he will be with you forever. He will not break the union and let you go. And so you are preserved. Romans 8 verse 39. Neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Why? Because Christ is in union with them. Eighthly, the indwelling or habitation of the Spirit. The indwelling or habitation of the Spirit. John 14 verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You have the Spirit within. Thus you are preserved. He will never leave you. What a thought it is. There are his almighty hands to keep you. Christ makes intercession for you. And the Spirit continually inhabits you. Therefore, you are preserved. Through battering storms, through the attacks of the evil one, through times of backsliding. We don't want to fail the Lord tomorrow, do we? And if we do, oh, that we will quickly ask the Lord to forgive us. But let's be thankful. And this isn't treating sin lightly, is it? But let's be thankful. He will not let us go. He will keep us. Through the times of backsliding, through the times when we take our eyes off him and sin against him, through the rivers of despondency and the rising waters of doubts, he will preserve. We are in his hands. He will continue that work, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He began the work, and it began because of love. He will preserve you, because he wants to perform, and he wants to see you in heaven, and he wants to see you glorified on the great day. So he will preserve you. You will get there. You will get to the entrance of heaven. And you will enjoy eternal life. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. But as we close tonight, and we'll be very brief. The justice of God, thirdly. The justice of God. Note how the verse ends. But all the wicked will he destroy. Let's love Christ so much more this week. In view of these closing words. Let's be thankful. Whilst many will go to that lost eternity this week. The Lord will preserve us. Solemn words, isn't it? What a contrast for the sinner who remains in unbelief. That's plain, isn't it? We pray that many are drawn to Christ, that they then would be preserved. But for those that remain in unbelief, he will destroy. He will not keep them. He will punish with eternal destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So solemn those words, aren't they? Everlasting destruction. And God is just. They hated him. They hated our altogether lovely Saviour. They broke his law. He is just. Anyone here, if you're not a Christian, oh, that you would flee from the wrath of God, not tomorrow, but now. Dear child of God, how blessed we are to be a follower of Jesus. When we consider these words and what are going to happen to those that die in their sins, he will destroy them. How blessed we are to love the Lord and have the prospect of everlasting life, to know the glorification to come, the raising of the body, and to be with Christ forevermore. How blessed we are. How wonderful it is to be in the loving hands of God, to be kept by him, preserved by him. As we think of these things, may we be thankful, but may the Lord also use these words here to excite our love. When we think of his love to us and what he will do to those that die in their sins, oh, to love him the more. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he